Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning. Just a little after 11 o'clock, we are live in the studio. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We take your calls. We talk about your health. And we have an eye doctor, surgeon,
good morning,
specialist in the building, Dr. Michael Gilbert. So if you have eye questions, this is the day to call in and get those talked about and discussed and find out more. The number to get through is 206-421-5757. Of course, the show brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics, and we are growing. Boy, that Kirkland Clinic, gorgeous, almost ready to open it. How soon, Dr. Mixon?
Well,
getting close. Are we under a month now, maybe?
Well, we're supposed to be the 22nd of this month.
Yes, 2 weeks
that's
from today.
That's what we've been planning on. However.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. One of the desks, built-in desks for Bella Medica, may or may not be installed in time. And our fear is that if that desk is not installed, the city might not give us our occupancy permit.
That's right. They can do that.
And I would really hate to have to delay it.
You can't just put a table in its place.
No.
Apparently this desk is designed to be wired right into the power system, so the computers and everything are so the desk has power and all that, and so.
But we're getting close. We're getting close.
Yeah, my hope, if the city will give us the occupancy permit, we will be in there the 22nd.
Wonderful, which is 2 weeks from today.
If they don't give us the occupancy permit, we may be in the parking lot.
There we go. But we'll be open. Yes, we have three clinics, by the way. Our beautiful new clinic in Kirkland to be open soon. Of course, Linwood and Tacoma with our Longevity Medical Clinics. And if you've heard us on the show, you've heard several people. A lot of patients calling in saying, oh, thank you. Always with such wonderful reports. So very thankful and always very positive about how their health has changed.
Well, that's our job.
That's your goal. That's your job.
We do not accept the normal decline of aging. Mm-hmm. You know, as you get older, normally you get slower, you get fatter, you get weaker. Your brain slows down and actually shrinks. You know, your libido fades away, and depression is a normal part of aging. That's the scary thing. Your mood goes from enthusiasm and self-confidence to, not so great. Okay. And all of that are things we address.
And your vision gets worse.
And your vision gets worse. That's right. So our job is to make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, happier, and able to see it.
That's right. And good looking. Looking good. Yeah, see what I did
good,
there?
Good looking.
Yeah,
that's
looking
right.
Good. Or great. That's why we're here. Longevity Medical Clinics. And we still have what we call a health analysis appointment, and it's free. That means you come in, see our clinics, get to know the staff. You'll do two simple tests, a blood test and an in-body test. And then the doctors can tell, you know, if you're at risk for things down the road that could be very damaging to you, cancers, joint degeneration, diabetes, dementia, and so much more, heart disease. That's what we want to do. Let's find out what's going on in your body, and let's start working on making it a better you, a healthier you as you're aging. It's not going to get better as you age. But if you're happy with how you feel.
Yeah. If your goal in life is to get slow, fat, dumb, weak, and sexless, you don't need us.
No. But if you want to live your life.
But if slow, fat, dumb, weak, and sexless is not what you want for your future, you need to come to Longevity Medical Clinic.
That's right. And the first step.
Two choices.
Yes. The first step is that free health analysis appointment. Here's the number. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online and get your appointment there as well. Just click the button that says free health analysis appointment. We'll get just a bit of information from you. And you can pick the day and the time and the clinic that works the best for you. LMClinic.com or pick up the phone right now. You can do that. 866-86-YOUNG. All right. We hope to see you in here, and we hope to hear on the radio show in a few months, hey, I'm a new patient at Longevity, and I feel so much better, because we love those calls. We love those calls. All right. Jesse from Tacoma. Jesse, I'm excited to hear what you want to ask Dr. Mixon about his trip coming up in December. Welcome.
Hello, doctor.
Hello.
If I may say first, your program is so interesting that often I start thinking about one of the topics and I miss part of your next topic.
Sorry.
A little bit, that's okay with me. I was calling because you seem to be thinking about your next dangerous adventure you want to go on.
And, don't use the word dangerous or my wife will have a tizzy.
That's right. Adventure.
Next adventure.
All right. Your next exciting adventure. What I tried about 10 years ago was I took a short class on mountain climbing. And then it culminated with a climb up Mount Rainier, which we didn't get to the top of. But I learned a lot, and one thing I learned was if you could run like 4 or 5 miles without hardly getting tired, you still get tired climbing up a mountain with a 50 or 60 pound pack on.
Yes, you do.
And so that was my suggestion. And you don't have to leave home. You know.
Well, that's true. All right. Well, I may do that.
I think you'd do it on Kilimanjaro, though. I think that's where he would end.
Well, Kilimanjaro might be easier than Mount Rainier, actually.
In some ways, yeah.
There you go. Great suggestion, Jesse. Did you have any health questions?
Well, I had a whole bunch of them, but I have one more adventure suggestion.
Okay.
If he wants to address his inner woman. And I have a friend who's a lady with a 12-year-old daughter who likes everything about Japan, even though she's not in the least bit Japanese. And I was thinking I would sew for her a kimono. And so I was thinking that the doctor could learn how to sew. And it's sort of a scientific engineering project.
I see.
You get these patterns, and you have to measure them and everything, and cut the material to write, and then use it in the sewing machine. And it just struck me as kind of a good project, even a man.
Mentally stimulating.
Somehow
not quite the thrill of jumping out of an airplane.
Well, maybe he could do it in an airplane helicopter.
Yeah, now if I were trying to sew.
Wearing the kimono?
Wearing a kimono.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I think you had me, Jesse, at if Dr. Mixon wanted to embrace his inner woman, but I don't think he has an inner woman.
Jesse, the point is I love to embrace women.
Women, yeah. Your daughter, your wife, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of go along with you there.
My criteria are pretty simple, you know. Young, slender, beautiful, Asian, female. That's pretty much
there you
my
go.
Thought.
That's his.
Anyway.
Oh, Jesse, that's great.
Well, okay. At my age, it's sort of the same thing, but I'm kind of having to drop the slender part.
Oh, boy. Oh, thank you so much for your call, Jesse. You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
I like it. Now, if you do decide to sew a kimono, we want to see that, okay?
You know, given that my wife is Chinese, yeah. I would probably, if I were going to sew, would probably be sewing a qipao as opposed to a kimono.
Okay, and that's their beautiful
She owns several beautiful qipaos.
Okay.
She doesn't like to walk in them much because they make you make these
tiny, mincing
steps, and she's a strider.
That's great.
She's, I imagine.
Okay. Let's take another call. Mary from Olympia. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm struggling with something.
Okay.
And I am a patient of your clinic and a patient of Dr. Michaels at Northwest Vision. And I've had edema in my face. My eyes are swollen. My vision is somewhat affected. I have pain when chewing. I have headaches, and I've been taking way too much Tylenol. And it's difficult for me to sleep because of the headaches. And I'm on Vyzulta and Timolol for glaucoma. I was to have cataract surgery with Dr. Michael, but had to cancel and move it far ahead because my husband had to have emergency surgery. And that's about it. I've been miserable for about 5 or 6 days. And my doctor is calling in a prescription for erythromycin, thinking that it might be a sinus infection. Do you have any other ideas?
Boy, that's a toughie, because she's got so many
facial
symptoms.
Swelling.
Yeah, ah. You know.
Yes.
So why edema? You know, is there an allergy to something involved here? Are we looking at some mast cell degranulation?
I didn't know if the Vyzulta, I've used them for a long time, Vyzulta and Timolol, could they cause any of that?
Yeah, almost certainly not. If you're having a reaction to those drugs, it's going to be local, not regional, not systemic. If you're having a reaction, your eyes may be bright red. You're gonna know about it because the drug is high concentration on the cornea, and as a practical matter, the amount of systemic or regional absorption is zero unless you're smearing it on your face, which I know you're not. I cannot conceive that that's having any impact.
Yeah, you know, first thing I would do with you, just because of the wide-ranging possibilities with your problem, is I'd start with some laboratory work. You know, I'd like to see what a high-sensitivity CRP is. I'd like to do an anti-nuclear antibody on you to see if we've got an autoimmune process of some sort starting. You know, with your swelling, I sure want us to get a good look at your kidney function. Boy. So one of my adages has always been first diagnosis, then therapy. Because if you don't know exactly what you're treating, the chances of treating it effectively are poor. And so what we really need to do is to run a whole host of testing and see if we can sort out where this is coming from. Rather than trying to cover up the symptoms, we need to find out what's causing the symptoms and address that root cause.
Okay.
So, you know, I've just got a long list of laboratory tests I want to start running on you.
Okay, I'll check with my longevity doctor.
But I don't think that has anything to do with your glaucoma treatment or your cataracts.
Yeah, Mary, could you stay on the line? We're going to take a quick break because our clock says so, and we'll be back to talk with you just a bit more in just a moment. Stay right there, okay? We'll be back in just a moment with more Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Gilbert in just a moment. It's Leading Edge Medicine live on this Saturday morning. We're glad you've tuned in. Thank you for being part of the show. If you have a question, there's still time to get your question in today. 206-421-5757 is the number to call. That's 206-421-5757. And we have Mary on the line. She was talking to you about so many things going on with her eyes.
So the I know you have the eye problems, which you listed your medications, which are both for glaucoma, and I think that sounds like, just based on what you've told me, that the vision is probably primarily the cataract. But I don't hear anything either in the disease themselves or the medications that would explain anything related to the facial swelling.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, and good. That's where I want to do the laboratory work to see if we can sort out what's going on there. Because facial swelling always worries me. When people start swelling in the face, they can often migrate to airway issues and breathing problems. And they just, this is a red flag for me. I really want to track it down. So call your longevity doctor, have him or her, because I don't know if you got one of our males or females, have them, have her send me a note. And then I'll set up a Teams call. She and I will get on a video call together and go over your chart and start looking at possibilities and finding ways to help you, okay?
Okay. Do you think I should start the erythromycin in case it's a sinus infection?
Well,
sinuses are very sore.
If your sinuses are tender, then that's certainly a possibility. And so, if your doctor has written it, give it a try.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Good luck to you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care, my dear.
We wish you the best, Mary. Thank you for your call. We're going to head over to Seattle now. Robert on the line. I believe he has a question for you, Dr. Gilbert.
Good morning, Robert. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have two questions. One for Dr. Mixon. I should probably save this question for Dr. Nelson, but I'll ask it now anyway and maybe call back when Nelson's on.
Perfect. Get them both.
Yeah. He's on next weekend,
yep.
By the way.
Dr. Nelson is next week.
So I had PRP injection 4 days ago on both knees. Mm-hmm. They told me if it doesn't work well, they would try maybe a nerve block or a gel or cortisone. I wouldn't be okay with cortisone. I'd be okay with nerve block sounds pretty good, but my question is, stem cells are out of the question because of the cost, but my question about the nerve block is, if I have a nerve block and that relieves the pain, does that damage my knees in the future when I don't feel the pain but I still have the problem?
I don't believe they're going to knock out the major nerves that would cause you problems in the long run. Usually when they're talking about nerve blocks for pain, they're talking about little tiny branches, fibrils that are quite small and actually regenerate over time. So usually, and again, this is a question for Dr. Nelson, not for me, because my understanding of his field is rudimentary. All right. So for the details, we need him. But the nerve blocks that they would normally do are just the tiny, tiny branches that get hyphurcated, and they give you relief for, months to a few years, but eventually they regenerate. And so
I'm just wondering if I feel no pain and I go ahead and exercise and walk a lot, am I doing further damage? I'll ask Nelson that question.
Walking, that sort of micro trauma actually stimulates growth of the cartilage.
Okay. The question I have for Dr. Gilbert is a little bit of a criticism, not of him.
Uh-oh.
But of his occupation, and that is, I went to a local guy, not Dr. Gilbert.
Thank you.
Went in to see about doing RLE, and they told me it's a half hour to an hour procedure, and then they told me they want $6,500 an eye. I find that to be obscene. Now, if there are problems, I think you could argue that, that's due to government regulation or laws have been passed, I think that Republicans or conservatives then, if that's the case, they need to seriously come against those laws and those regulations to lower those costs. Because otherwise, people are going to vote for Biden when he says that he'll give, I might vote for Biden, when he says, well, I'll do your knees for $500 a knee. I'm a selfish person like everybody else, you know? So I might just say, okay, Joe, I'm voting for you. And after you ask that question, I have a comment.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, it, just by your voice, it sounds like you may be of an age where RLE, the results of RLE, are partially covered by insurance. Now, RLE is a term that stands for refractive lens exchange, and that's once you get to 50, using LASIK to improve your vision doesn't work so well because you have that aging lens. So RLE is a technology that now allows us to take out that aging lens, put in a new lens, correct the prescription for distance, intermediate, and near. Now, unlike LASIK, which corrects a younger eye by putting the prescription in the cornea, here we're taking out your aging lens and we're putting in a brand new lens. And the more advanced the technology, a big percentage of what you're the dollar amount you're talking about is actually buying that lens. And you know, the surgery takes me on average about 7 to 10 minutes, so it makes it sound even worse than yours, although I've never had a patient say, would you please take longer doing my eye surgery? I'd like you to really spend a lot of time in there. So sometimes you're paying a little more for someone who doesn't spend so much time, which helps with healing and recovery. The cost is not hard for me to fend. I know what it costs to run an ambulatory surgery center, which does sterile eye surgery. How much those implants cost us is thousands. So part of that is just the hardware and the staffing it takes to make that miracle. But part of it can be covered by insurance, and also there is some variability. And if you were to come to us, we would be looking to see, is this something that's appropriately covered in part by insurance? And if it is, great. And I will tell you, the majority of patients who come in to me asking for RLE end up having insurance coverage because they didn't know they had cataract surgery, and some of my colleagues who like to take cash, not insurance, will not mention that to them. So you might just be might have the option of doing that. The most expensive implant isn't necessarily the best implant, and I give descriptions of what that implant technology can achieve. And my favorite one, the one that I would choose, is not the most expensive. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's a couple down the road, not even one down from the most expensive.
But it's not $6,500 per eye.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah. Dr. Gilbert, and
right.
No way. It was not even for both.
No. So, you know, fortunately, in America, there's no price control.
Yep.
And, of course, I suspect the people you went to also have an advertising budget that's greater than mine, and they're trying to bring in a lot of people. I get patients who have gone to others of my more aggressively advertised colleagues and are surprised that insurance can cover part of it. They often aren't – they don't understand that by the education in other places. So – I think it's a good idea to shop around.
Yes.
And make sure that you're getting both the greatest competence at an affordable price. I would also wonder if a component of your problem isn't something that might be appropriate for insurance coverage. So yeah. You want to at least ask that mm-hmm. question.
And I'd like to chime in here a little bit too, just for fun. Now, I'm not an ophthalmologist, and I don't do the surgery, so I don't have a dog in the fight. But I had my eyes done probably, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years ago. I mean, it was a while back. And I paid out of pocket for the lenses.
Yeah.
Okay. The surgeon basically did the surgery as a freebie for me, which I thought was very, very nice. But then again, I comped him some of my services too. So it was a trade-off. But I paid for the lenses. And even then, even 10, 15 years ago, the high-tech lens, the crystal lens that I got, was like $2,300 per lens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So to buy the lens to put in my eye was $2,300 a lens.
And it won't shock you, inflation has not made that friendlier.
And in fact, under good old demented Uncle Joe, inflation has been 16.6% since he took office. So, you know, at 16.6% that your dollar has been devalued, that $2,300 lens now would be $2,500,
$2,600. Sure. That's right.
You know, and you need two of them. Also, that laser that they're going to use to cut that cornea and kind of make these little incisions, that femtosecond or picosecond laser is a couple of $100,000. And just maintaining that laser is pricey because the laser technicians don't work for free. And you not only got the surgeon in the room doing the work, you got a heck of a lot of well-paid, highly skilled support personnel in there.
Yeah, prepping you for the surgery.
Well, getting you ready. The anesthesia and the circulating nurses and the prep nurses. And then you've got a facility that is regulated by the government that has to meet some very, very high standards of cleanliness and emergency care just in case something should go wrong and you should have a bad reaction. They have to be prepared and have all of the equipment and trained personnel on hand to handle any crisis that might even remotely arise while you're getting worked on. That all adds up, you know? So, yeah, this is trying to do it on the cheap is kind of like the coat hanger abortions.
Ouch.
You know? And so you want it done cheap, you want it done right, I'll take right. It's my eyes. But I have some, you know, I have some experience in the costs of these things. And that money you're talking about spending is not all going in the surgeon's pocket.
And I do have about 15, 20% of my patients who can't afford any of that and will end up waiting until it's insurance covered, and it can be fully insurance covered. You don't get the sophisticated lens that performs like Dr. Mixon's lens. But the implant technology still is a modern miracle, even the government issue lowest technology. So if the cost is a number one issue and getting your vision along with getting your vision back, the government issue technology is still a modern miracle. It just doesn't deliver quite the optics.
It's the last lens you'll need, right?
Whatever you choose, somewhat uniquely, will last the rest of your life.
Yes,
and that's the most exciting part to me is we get to change people's lives. Mm-hmm. Distance, intermediate, and near vision, often better than they've ever had in their lives.
Yep. My hand is raised. Absolutely.
Am I right, Lynette?
Absolutely. Right. And Robert, I would
all
say
three of us
shop
have
around and come in and get your second opinion. And
all
and
three
get
all of
the
us
deals.
Have benefited from yep. exactly that. And it's a life change.
Yep. I love my lens.
Me too.
Absolutely a life change. And they've gotten better.
Yes.
Better than what you have. Better yep. than what I have.
There you go.
They yeah. keep getting better.
So get a second opinion, Robert. We want to see you get some good eyes, all right? We got to go to break. We'll be back with Stacy and John in just a moment. Stay right there.
Against the wind. We were running against the wind. We were young and strong. We were running against the wind.
Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Dr. Umat is off this week. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon and our eye specialist, Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. In fact, if you'd like to get a hold of Dr. Gilbert and his amazing staff, here is that number to make an appointment, 425-450-2020. That is in Bellevue. 425-450-2020.
855-450-2020. Okay, we have Stacy from Snohomish with a question for you, Dr. Gilbert. Good morning, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Good morning, Dr. Gilbert. My question for you today is, my dad had cataract surgery about 5 to 6 months ago, and he has a problem now with ghosting, and it's making reading very difficult. Seeing up close is quite the problem. Is there anything that can be done for that?
First, we have to understand what's going on. Did you say that's your dad?
Yes, I did.
Okay. The first thing, the simplest, would be to try a drop of artificial tears and see if that temporarily improves it. Because one of the most common reasons for that, it would be your eyes drying out a little bit. What happens is when we read, we stop blinking. Normal blink rate's 20 times a minute. Each blink releases a wave of tears that keeps your vision clear. When we're reading, computer, television, it drops as low as 2. So from 20 down to 2, we're producing much less tears. The more interested you are in the visual task, the less you blink. And that could be a very simple reason. What do I think is going on? I think that's possible. But the one thing related to the surgery is, after implant surgery is done, just normal anatomy, there is a membrane between the implant and the retina that, in a percentage of patients, loses some of its clarity. And that can happen in several months. It can happen in several years. And there are the two most common symptoms are glare, with in like night driving into headlights, that kind of thing, and or decreasing reading. And in fact, I just had mine lasered within the month, and it was because I was not having any glare symptoms, but my reading, I was having to reach for reading glasses, and I go without glasses all day long after my implant surgery. And I noticed that I was gradually having to, because I read also in the dark, as an ophthalmologist, we work in a dark room, and I got used to being able to easily read, and I was having to reach for reading glasses for smaller print, so that just told me that I was having some degradation. The laser takes on average about 15 seconds. There are no drops afterwards, no restrictions afterwards. There's nothing to feel because there are no nerves in that that membrane that loses some of its clarity. It's not doing any harm to the eye, but it is degrading the vision, especially when you read. And that the recovery from that is almost instant. You'll notice the difference in your vision overnight. Once it's lasered, it should never come back. So it's an extremely low risk, high yield, rapid improvement if that's all it is. Now, could it be something else? Of course, could be retinal changes. I think he needs an exam to see what it is. But what do I think it is? Highest likelihood, I'm going to bet number one, that it's that posterior capsule that has become a little bit hazy. The answer is a quick 15-second painless laser that lasts the rest of his life. Could it be dry eyes? Of course. Could it also be some retinal degeneration? Certainly possible. You'd want to make sure that that's not the case. But that's my thinking. What's the most likely reason?
Oh, okay. Now, my husband has the beginnings of a cataract, and he was actually contemplating RLE. But after what happened to my dad, he has reservations on that. Should that be a concern?
I had mine done in my 50s. I wouldn't hesitate. I think get it diagnosed. Mm-hmm. If it's that posterior capsule, that happens in about 40% of patients who have any implant surgery. It's not a, quote, complication. It's just a normal part of aging of that tissue. We just laser it out of the way. It's done, doesn't come back, and you have the miracle of the vision to the implant.
Yeah, you did that for me.
And I've had it done myself. Mm-hmm. I knew what was happening. I knew this wasn't serious. I knew it was just a quick laser to be done. And fortunately, I just called my son up and said, why don't you meet me at the shop and let's take care of this thing. And there's literally nothing to it. And I would have driven home, but he insisted. And, so that, I think, would would not influence my my embracing this miracle in my 50s. And if that's the case for your husband, this would not keep me from making that decision at all. Now, 60% don't end up having that the degeneration of that membrane over their lifetime. Great. But of the 40% of us that do, the answer is quick, easy, extremely low risk, lifelong, and a total non-event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the information.
So I'm really encouraging for your dad. Just get it checked out, because small chance it could be something serious. Highly likely it's something very simple. And if it's just that laser, quick, done, and lifelong.
I was surprised how quick it was.
Yeah.
I was like, what? You're done?
Right.
Yeah.
It really is that kind of thing.
Felt nothing.
A few pulses of laser and you're done. Mm-hmm. And there are no nerves in that membrane at all, so literally nothing to feel. You don't go back to surgery. The laser looks just like the exam microscope that we use.
Yeah, I thought I was getting an exam.
Right.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
So definitely he needs to be checked out to make sure it's not something else. But the highest likelihood is it's a simple, quick, and permanent fix.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Stacy. All right. We have a break coming up right now, and we will be back. John wants to talk about rapamycin. And we have Rob on the line as well. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. We will return in just a moment.
Don't tell my heart, my aching-breaking heart. I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy-breaky heart, he might blow up and kill this man.
Leading Edge Medicine, focusing on the eyes today with Dr. Michael Gilbert, Dr. Jerry Mixon here too. And we have another eye question. We're going to Will in Mount Vernon. Will, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
Good morning, doctors. Good morning, Lynette.
Hi.
Hey, my round about 30-year-old son-in-law, he's colorblind, and just out of the blue, he's a type 1 diabetic. Diabetic retinopathy was diagnosed, and a couple months ago, it says pretty severe. They've tried the shots on him, and that's been a good thing. But I'm kind of wondering, they said get the blood sugar down. That's really important, and before they can do anything else. I don't know what the anything else is going to be. But it seems to me a multi-pronged approach is always better. And I'm wondering about supplements and vitamins and, you know, PDE5 inhibitors. Any thoughts along that line?
In terms of diabetic retinopathy, it's mostly the most aggressively you can bring the diabetes under control. That's what's doing the vascular damage. So that's the main actor. The injections in the eye are to reverse some of the leaking that happens from those damaged blood vessels. But your multi-pronged approach is, inside the eye, we want to decrease the leakage of the damaged vessels, but most aggressively you want to bring the diabetes under control so that you slow the degradation of the vascular competence that's causing that leakage.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, he has a blood monitor now, and I think he's going to scared straight, I guess. He's going to be very mindful of getting that
that's
right.
Good.
But excellent.
Well, if he needs a second opinion on the retina, my son did his retina fellowship at Harvard, which was the center that created the worldwide criteria for diabetic retinopathy, and is still used throughout the world for determining the stages and the treatments for diabetic retinopathy. So I'm sure he's in good hands, but if you ever want a second opinion, especially a young man like that has his life ahead of him, and we want to hang on to every bit of vision that we possibly can.
Excellent. Thank you, doctor. Yeah, they live about an hour north of here, but I'll I'll try and get them down to your neck of the woods. So am I right in thinking this is kind of behaving like general macular degeneration? Is that so when you read the research or studies, it's kind of a similar approach here, minus the sugar maybe?
Well, there are some similarities in the disease, particularly because the macula is the most vulnerable and vascularly easily compromised. It has the highest O2 consumption per unit of tissue of any tissue in the body, so it is the most vulnerable to that, and it is and a little bit of leakage around it compromises the vision radically with just small changes. So it's a highly vulnerable, highly sensitive tissue, and no question there are similarities in the impact to life. When you lose that function of that central macula.
Okay, would you think the Cialis and the tadalafil type chemistry, is that possibly a good thing or a bad thing? I guess there's like microclots going on, and I'm not sure he's asked the doctor.
I certainly wouldn't think, I can't think of anything bad about it. I don't know of any good, but just knowing the cardiovascular and other effects, it's more likely to be positive than negative, at least neutral.
Yeah. I just jotted myself a note, actually, on my electronic notepad to pull some studies. I don't know. PDE5 inhibitors are beneficial in so many different aspects.
I mean, that's why I said I'm thinking neutral to positive, but I can't cite any studies or give you the...
And neither can I. Quite frankly, have never looked at PDE5 in diabetic retinopathy before. So
I'm not sure we're going to find anything, but boy, that'd be a fun thing to look up.
It would. Well, I have looked at type 1 diabetes and rapamycin. Uh-huh. Which is fascinating. It decreased the antibody levels that are attacking the beta cells. Mm-hmm. So it decreased the antibody attack on the pancreas, and it decreased the insulin requirements for these patients. But it did did not result in increased beta cell volume. Whereas the cells that make insulin in the pancreas did not increase in the study. But insulin requirements went down, inflammatory reaction went down, and the antibody levels went down. So, there are some cutting-edge things that are being looked at here, but I haven't looked at PDE5, so I'll do that next.
All right. Okay, we got another call to squish in. Will, thank you for that. Good call. All right, a quick question, and I think you've had this before. Before we go to our next call,
okay.
Dr. Gilbert, are you able to have RLE if you have AFib going on?
Sure.
Okay, there you go. That question was yours.
No problem.
Rob, not a problem if you have AFib.
That's why I have that anesthesiologist
as part
of the team members is to make sure AFib isn't something I have to think about.
Okay,
I'm doing eye surgery.
Very good. Wanted to get that answered for you quickly, Rob. John is on the line, our last caller for the day from Tacoma. Good morning, John.
Hello, John.
Morning. So I heard one of your early discussions of rapamycin. Mm-hmm. And I was immediately intrigued because in the 1970s, I configured the sailboat I was building so I could anchor off of Easter Island.
Rapa Nui.
So I got, sirolimus, 4 mg from by the longevity clinics. And so I started taking them and I felt good all over, which was the first good thing. But the second good thing was that I've had this jock itch thing it's almost a year, and I think it's inside of me. It's not on the surface, and it went away. Mm-hmm. And so then I took it for 2 weeks and felt a little bit like maybe I needed some more, so I got enough to take two a week. And then the jock itch came back every 2 or 3 days for a session.
Okay.
And
first of all, rapamycin, sirolimus, the other name for it, is a potent antifungal and antibacterial compound. Okay. So it attacks fungi, and most jock itch is a fungus. It's a yeast. So that's the good part. The downside is if you take too much, if you increase the dose so that you get sirtuin 2 as opposed to sirtuin 1 suppression, then you suppress your immune response and you're not able to fight the infection as effectively. So it's a case of a little bit can be good, more is not necessarily better. It could, in fact, be worse when it comes to letting an infection grow.
So I should go back to one pill.
I'd go back to 4 milligrams a week, or if you want to raise a higher dose, you do the higher dose once a week, not twice a week. Whereas if you suppress your CERT 1, that gets suppressed at a lower dose. Higher dose, you can start suppressing CERT 2. But if you're suppressing things twice a week instead of once a week, you're suppressed twice as long.
No, so I was taking 2 pills
at
once
one time.
A week.
Yeah, then you're probably sensitive enough that you're getting CERT 1 or CERT 2 suppressed, and I'm going to guess that's your issue.
Okay, that's great. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
All right. Whew, what a show. Doctors, they're keeping you busy. Woo. All throughout the morning here. So thank you, Dr. Michael Gilbert, for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Northwest Vision Institute in Bellevue. If you are listening going, you know, I think I need to come in or maybe get that second opinion or find out what the real cost for getting RLE could be with insurance
right.
involved, find out more. Here is the number to call. It is 425-450-2020 for Dr. Michael Gilbert. There we go, little froggy. All right, it's almost noontime. Dr. Jerry Mixon, back tomorrow, or back next week for
us.
I'll
be here next week.
Yes, back next week, and we will have Dr. Dan Nelson. He's the pain guy, the pain specialist from Pro Ortho. You got those stem cell questions, pain in your back, your neck, your knee. He is the guy to call, and he will be
here. Talk about the nerve ablation.
That's right.
He's the right guy to ask next week.
That's right. Call us next week. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Available for you in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Lynnwood. You can still make an appointment by contacting us at 866-86-YOUNG for that free health analysis. Or go online, lmclinic.com. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.